It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper.
The University of Alabama.
Don't do it, Dante.
And three-time Super Bowl champion.
Don't you dare, Dante. No.
Well, look at all that bling. He just scratched his face.
Shut up.
Fifth pick to the New England Patriots. And with the 45th pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the champs select Juwan Williams, DB, Vanderbilt.
I hate this night. I hate the Juwan Williams pick. I hate that they're trading out again. And so help me God if someone off that stupid draft board gets hit with this next pick. So help me God. I hate this night. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it.
Well, no one else is going to get it if they keep trading out.
I hated Arcan. That's a good point. If they keep trading out, the big board can't. Good point by you. They can't hit.
It's worth playing again because it's so good. That's the screams of our own Adam Jones, the sports vulture, the nighttime nihilist, being crushed again by the ultimate power of the Felger and Maz big board. Last night, he had to hear the Patriots move up, trade up, and take Juwan Williams, cornerback out of Vanderbilt. Another pick hit by the Felger and Maz big board, because the night before, with pick 32, the Patriots took their first wide receiver in the first round under Bill Belichick, N'Keal Harry, out of Arizona State. Another pick hit on the big board. Since then, if I'm being honest, the board's going cold. The Patriots just made another pick with the 118th pick overall. They took a guard. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. A guard, Chris. His name is apparently pronounced Yelda Froholt. Even I had it a little bit wrong. Yelda Froholt. He's from Denmark. He didn't start playing football until his sophomore year in high school as an exchange student, reading from your coworker Jim McBride of the Boston Globe. A guard. A bit of a head-scratcher here. Overall, I've liked the approach because there's been no quarterbacks. I am firmly, hashtag F the future, build around Tom Brady, but there's now a couple of that I look at as head-scratchers. The running back out of Alabama last night.
Damian Harris.
Damian Harris didn't really see a need for a running back. I felt like that was one of the areas you were pretty deep on this team, but okay, fine. At least it's not a quarterback. And a guard? Aren't you kind of set at guard on the offensive line? I would even have taken another tackle.
Well, here's the thing, though. Joe Tooney can be a free agent at the end of the season.
Always looking ahead.
So I think that's probably where this is coming from. Shaq Mason got the huge contract, so maybe that's where they're at, you know, and that's why Yelda Froholt.
Yelda Froholt.
So if this guy does not die tomorrow in the Battle of Winterfell on Game of Thrones.
I don't watch it, but even I get that
reference. Might be able to play. I was saying... It either sounds like someone who's going to die in the Battle of Winterfell or Hodor's wife that we didn't know about, his secret wife, one or the other, or a guard for your New England Patriots.
6'5", 306 pounds, played some defensive tackle as a freshman before moving to offensive line. Okay, versatility, we love that. Spent most of his career at left guard, also played some center. So the Patriots still have a couple of picks in the fourth round and then four in the seventh, which I'm sure will all be traded away at some point today.
Your approach, what do you feel about the approach thus far? Did you want a quarterback? Some of these top picks that they've made, including N'Keal Harry and Juwan Williams last night, what have you thought of the Patriots drafting thus far in the first couple
of years? Overall, I would say I like it. You know, you never know how the picks are going to work out, but I think overall the approach has been pretty sound. You know, I don't like that Damian Harris pick. I think they probably should have traded out there or gone in a different direction. There were even a couple of linebackers. I think Cody Barton was one who went right after that. I still look at linebacker as a little bit of an area of need. If you're going to look ahead at guard, then you have to also look ahead to the fact that Kyle Van Noy could be a free agent. And the way he's played the last couple of years, he's going to get paid a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I know Felger and Maz kind of mock him a little bit, but
he's
going to get paid.
He was arguably their best defensive player throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not just in one particular game. The playoff run.
Who knows? Maybe he'll take like a hometown discount, but this could be his one shot to cash in. And someone's going to, you know, back up the Brinks truck for that guy. So looking at that and some of the linebackers that were still on the board at that point when they took Damian Harris at 87, I would have gone in a different direction. And I still am a little surprised at this point. You know, first pick of this fourth round was Hakeem Butler, the wide receiver. The next pick at 104 was Ryan Finley, quarterback from NC State. So I'm still a little surprised at this point that they haven't taken a quarterback, and it seems like if they do at this point, it's not someone who's really any threat in any way, shape, or form to ever replace Tom Brady. It's a backup quarterback. It's someone to compete with Danny Etling and Brian Hoyer.
Well, good. Again, hashtag if the future, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Cincinnati traded up to get Finley out of NC State. So
I believe that they did.
Yeah, good luck there, Andy Dalton. It's shocking to me that no one's actually tested him yet. It's ridiculous that he hasn't lost his job yet, but this isn't Cincinnati Sports Talk Radio, obviously. The running back out of Alabama, it's Harris, Damian Harris. That's the one that, again, on the one hand, I love the sports Schadenfreude aspect of it. It'll make my dads during the week real mad because they don't really need it, and it's not a quarterback. But why not a tight end? Why? Considering that's one of the major needs here, because you're going in as of right now with Austin Seferian Jenkins as your main tight end. Why have they not addressed this, especially when there's been guys to be had here? Even someone like Irv Smith, who dropped a bit.
I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes it's the way the board falls. Like I mentioned to you, you know, I've seen this happen in the past with the Patriots. They're good. They're better than anybody else at the intel of what's going to happen in a round. But even they're not perfect. And so going back, I can't remember the year. I can look it up. But, you know, the Stephon Diggs year, they were into him. They were into Diggs. They felt like they could get Diggs. And all of a sudden, here come the Minnesota Vikings making a deal with the Falcons and trading up in the round and taking Diggs. And by the time the Patriots pick rolled around, you know, they ended up trading out and flopping and flipping picks, and they ended up with Joe Cardona. I mean, sometimes you peg a guy and you think you know where he's going to go and who's interested in him, and you don't. You don't know. You know, some other team sort of – Percy Harvin was another example of that. They were interested in Percy Harvin, and here come the Minnesota Vikings again, you know, jumping up and grabbing Percy Harvin. Maybe this kid, Kale Waring, who went one pick before they drafted Damian Harris to Houston, maybe that was somebody they thought they could get at that particular spot, and then he's gone, and it's like, okay, these other remaining tight ends don't really float our boat.
Tell you what, though, I don't know, now that we peel back the onion a bit from some of these picks, one of the things that annoys me is, like, feels with some of these picks, like this Yelda Froholt, who just got selected, again, a guard, wasn't really a need for a guard. The Harris out of Alabama, the running back, not a really need for a running back. Are these favors? Because this Froholt, he's from Arkansas. You know who brought him in? Brett Bielema.
Yeah.
Is he still on the staff, or has he left too, or been fired?
No, he's still on
quit?
The staff.
There's so many coaches that have gone now. It's
he's still on the staff.
Bill and his kids running the operation.
Maybe he will get the defensive coordinator, you know, job now that he was telling everybody he was going to get.
Is this just Bill doing favors for buddies? Like, this is the stuff that annoys me.
It's not him.
It just doesn't happen here. It happens throughout the league.
It's not him doing favors. See, Bill wants to win. He's not doing any favors, Jim. But is his evaluation of these players potentially colored by the information he's getting from people he's friendly with and you trust? Do certified FOBs, friends of Bill, influence the draft board as he swoops in after, you know, 12 to 16 months of work by the scouts? Yes.
Yeah.
That happens. Sometimes it works and it's great. I'll tell you, I always remember this. I remember covering one of these drafts. They took Sebastian Vollmer. I got a text from a source, work for the team, basically saying, we don't really like this pick. Bill overruled everybody and took this guy. Guy turned out to be a fantastic player. So sometimes that happens and it works really well. There are other players, Jake Beckett, where they do stuff like this, and it's a disaster. You know, Jordan Richards was one. You know, there are other times, but that's the, what you get. I mean, you know, Bill has absolute power, and he has an impeccable track record. So he's gonna come in and say, you know, I like this guy. I'm comfortable with the intel I've gotten in this guy. And you get Damian Harris. And you get, you know, this guy who's in Game of Thrones. You know, whoever.
Yelda Froholt.
Yeah, Yelda Froholt, whatever this guy's name is. So that's what you get. Now, intel can work and help you. I'm sure Bill got some intel from Brett Bielema on Trey Flowers. How'd that work out?
Oh, obviously.
Pretty
great.
Darn well.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Take the good with the bad. And obviously the Rutgers influence with Greg Schiano for years, too.
I just want to warn you, there is a Rutgers cornerback floating out there. So they'll probably end up with that guy.
All right. And it feels like, you know, you're hearing rumors, too, of maybe trades throughout the league, not having with picks, but just of, you know, embedded veterans. Someone like Kyle Rudolph, as the Vikings, as we were talking about Irv Smith, they move up and take him. As there, you know, looks like he's going to be the new tight end there. So a redundancy at that position. Is Kyle Rudolph now going to be available? As Bert Breer of the MMQB, he speculated the Patriots could be in on him in the next 48 hours. If that were to happen, okay, I can live with them not drafting a tight end then. They bring in Kyle Rudolph, had a pretty decent season last year, especially in an offense that features Diggs and Thielen. Like, yeah. He still ended up, I think, was 4 or 5 touchdowns and about 500 yards. So a guy at, I think, right around 30 years old, good. I could live with that. If you could trade a fourth-round pick or a third-round pick next year for him, that would be good. But I don't like that they haven't addressed that position yet at all.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because let's see what they do with these remaining picks, and I sort of feel like they're, you know, destined to trade one of these fourth-rounders. As I'm looking up here, you know, pick 126, like Riley Ridley just came off the board, wide receiver from Georgia. And this brings me to a bigger picture thought. Some of these wide receivers that are going off the board now in the third and fourth round, this is my only concern with the N'Keal Harry pick. Like, I think some of these guys could end up being just as good, if not better than him. And so to your point about not taking a tight end, or my point about not taking really a quarterback that maybe has any chance to succeed Brady, which I know you're against, That's the one sort of quibble. I like Harry. I like the pick. But could you have improved yourself overall more by going at another position and then trying to use the depth of this draft to fill that wide receiver void?
Yeah, I don't know. I know you didn't like this draft at that position. And
not up high, because yeah. I just don't think there's a huge difference between the guys at the top and some of these guys like my guy Kelvin Harmon, who's still on the board. I think when we look back on this draft, like 4 years from now, you're going to be like, oh, that Pro Bowl guy, like that Stephon Diggs guy, that Adam Thielen guy who went in the middle or the late part of this draft turned out to be better than, you know, Marquise Brown or whoever.
Hunter Renfrow's still out there. Hunter Renfrow of Clemson. I know that's a Maz favorite. So I want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on the Patriots drafting thus far? Again, it's Yelda Froholt out of Arkansas. Big guard. He needed a guard.
Does he wield long claw? Yeah. Which piece of Valyrian steel does he bring?
Is that
to
another
the table?
Game of Thrones reference?
It
I
is.
Don't get.
I could go all day with these.
All right, okay. All right. Your thoughts on the draft thus far? 617-779-0985.
We'll hear House from Froholt.
Yelda Froholt. The
House
latest
Froholt.
Pick. We'll get to you next here, Gaspar Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Gaspar and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. This is Gaspar and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And with the 45th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the champs select Juwan Williams, DB, Vanderbilt.
I feel like I got the complete package. I can run, cover, and hit. At the end of the day, if you look at all my numbers in the SEC, you know, I was ranked first in everything, whether it was passes defended, pass breakups, interceptions as a corner, solo tackles as a corner. And so I feel like that's what, you know, that complete package is what I bring to the team.
All right, so that's their first pick last night, Patriots. That's Juwan Howard, cornerback out of Vanderbilt, another one that the Philgren Mass Big Board hit. It's Gaspar Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's another one that I think you could argue against in terms of was it really necessary, considering, you know, if you look at the secondary of the Patriots and you have, well, you got Stephon Gilmore, you got Jason McCourty, you got J.C. Jackson, your slot cornerback is Duke Dawson, Jonathan Jones is still here.
Did you cross him?
Yeah, did you really need Juwan Williams? I know he's big, doesn't really seem to be a burner. Sounds like a very confident young man, you like that, but I don't know, like, was this also like a necessary pick? They like who they like, they're going to make their decisions, and Lord knows, more often than not, Bill gets them right. But there are some curious decisions made here. Again, no quarterback, so who am I to bitch? The Pilgrim Mavs big board has got a couple of picks. That's a win for us.
If they pick a quarterback now, will you be mad? Like fourth round?
Yeah, just because I'm so dug in on my take.
Okay,
there.
So
yeah.
Is there any round you find it acceptable for them to pick a quarterback at?
Yeah, like Danny Etling last year, seventh. Sixth or seventh.
So let's say, the reason I asked this just quickly, Jared Stidham still on the board. If they trade out of the fourth round and pick him in the fifth, will you be mad?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah. You are dug in.
Oh yes, God. I'm really, really dug in there. I want no quarterbacks. It's all these picks. Just continue to surround Tom Brady with more talent, hopefully. But that being said, I think you can question some of these picks. Like Williams, do they really need cornerback because there's a redundancy at that position? The running back out of Alabama, do they really need him? And now this Yolda Froholt, or whatever the hell his name is, a guard. A guard? I don't know. I think there are some curious decisions made by the Patriots thus far.
I have less of an issue with the Froholt pick than I do with the other two picks. I mean, you're in the fourth round. He's a guard. Who knows what Joe Tooney's situation is? They've been interested in guys in the past, like the guy Dan Feeney that the Chargers drafted. That's another example of what I was talking about last block, about the idea of a player they wanted, someone jumping up in front of them. That happened with the Chargers and Dan Feeney out of Indiana. So it seems like they're always sort of on the verge of trying to replace or at least have competition for David Andrews. I don't mind that pick. The Damian Harris pick is the one I'm sort of like, what are we doing here? I mean, you know, it's Brandon Bolden plus in the third round. I just don't really think you need that. And then Juwan Williams, I see where I see his value, right? I think he's a guy that is a matchup guy. He's a bigger, longer guy, bigger wide receivers, tight ends, you know, they've liked to do that. They did it when Tlaib was here, put Tlaib on Jimmy Graham. Brandon Browner was a guy they could do that with. They like having that piece. That piece has value. The question is, do you need to move up 11 spots in the draft from 56 to 45 to get that value? And does that make sense to do when you have some other needs on your team? You know, when you need to get a tight end, when I think you're aging a little bit at safety and you could get a safety in a deep safety draft. You know, I think there's just other opportunities there to use the selection.
Has anything else stood out to you just from a league standpoint? Maybe even going back to night one on Thursday night, some of these picks. Did you think that Kyler Murray was worthy of being picked first?
Yeah.
And the Cardinals quickly moving on from Josh Rosen? Anyone else?
I like the Josh Allen pick for the Jaguars. I think that's a good pick. You know, they need to get back to getting after the quarterback and having the defensive identity that they had before. And they
mean the linebacker that the Raiders should have taken?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I like that pick for Jacksonville. That's one that sort of stood out to me in the first round. I did want to say this quickly. What's going to be interesting, because it's always fun to play this game, and you could do this with every team, so I'm not picking on the Patriots, but one pick after they took Juwan Williams, Greedy Williams,
who I think
a lot
LSU
of people thought was like the best corner in the draft, or like in my opinion, as just a college football fan, which means nothing because I'm not a scout. But just I thought, okay, this guy's like the best corner, you know, I saw all year long. He went one pick after. So it'll be interesting if Greedy Williams becomes like, you know, a Pro Bowler and Juwan Williams becomes a nice player,
yeah,
you know, but maybe like sort of Tavon Wilson-esque. It'll be interesting.
Oh, it's
to
always
see.
Fun to do. I'll do that with Calvin Ridley and is it DJ Moore, the wide receiver in Carolina, who got picked in between Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel for the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah, that stuff's kind of interesting to do. But just going back to the first round here with some of these teams and picks that were made, I thought for the most part, you know, Daniel Jones, I thought was an absurd pick by the Giants. I mean, I don't like the player, but I also think if you do like the player, you could have gotten him somewhere else in that draft, right?
Chris, in the same round, they picked again at 17. He still would have been there at 17. No one had Daniel Jones that high except for Gettleman, that dunce GM with the Giants.
He's a local guy now, Dorchester guy.
I can't believe that kid went that high. Daniel Jones, sixth overall. Hey, maybe it works out and we'll all end up with egg on our face. But if nothing else, it's given us it's given us such great sports schadenfreude porn in terms of Giants fans' misery with that pick. Have you seen some of these clips that went viral almost immediately?
No, I heard you talking about it, but amazing. I wanted to see it. And I have to say, it made me wish so bad. I'm like, damn it, NFL, stop like having the draft as this traveling caravan, because if this had happened in New York...
Well, they did. They had the video board at MetLife Stadium,
okay,
and they had a party for Giants fans.
Okay.
And I think it was like a co-thing, maybe Giants and Jets, but the selection was made, and you just hear this collective like, no! No! Yes.
Was it like the Jeff Lagerman pick years back for the Jets, when those Jets fans were all pissed off?
You just see
Jeff Lagerman?
The instant misery. Who the hell am I to say? I don't know. But just to me, just on the surface, like, I think so many of these quarterbacks got quickly overhyped. This tends to happen more often than not now, especially in the last like 6 or 7 years. I feel like, you know, every GM, obviously they want immediate success. They're looking for the great white whale, the next great quarterback in the NFL. It's obviously very difficult to find. And so some of these guys get overhyped and they go way too high. And this quarterback class reminds me so much of 2013 when you ended up with stiffs like E.J. Manuel and Mike Glennon. And the guy that ended up going to the Jets out of
Geno
West Virginia,
Smith.
Geno Smith.
Wasn't Geno Smith the second round pick?
Still, but he was top second round.
I think he was like the first pick of the second round.
But right? He moved up way, way too fast. When he was talked about as like a third or fourth rounder. And then as we got close, like, well, we got to take a chance. We need a quarterback. These guys to go too high and they flame out almost immediately. This is what this reminds me of. Like, come on. Like this Dwayne Haskins. And I know his numbers were astronomical at Ohio State. But
he can spin it. I don't mind I think Haskins is a first round quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be any good, but it's like, you know, I don't have a problem with him going in the first round. I really don't. But a lot of the quarterbacks in this draft, they didn't like. Like, I look at a guy like Drew Locke. I just think some of these guys sort of have, and I think Daniel Jones fits in this too. It's like the Kyle Bowler, Ryan Tannehill syndrome, where like you look at the guy and you're like, that's what a quarterback should look like. You know, he fits the part. It's perfect looks, you know, is good on the board. Everything you'd want, but it's like if you actually watch these guys, if you've seen some of the throws they make, some of the decisions that they make, the accuracy numbers, and I think sometimes you can get fooled. Quarterbacks like a Locke or Daniel Jones who are on a team where they sort of have to elevate the team, they roll up all these yards and they make all these decisions where they're basically completely, you know, unlocked, untrammeled, to be able to just say, you know what, this team's not that good. They need me to make crazy plays, so I'm just going to do it. And it's kind of hard to deprogram those guys from doing that when they get in the league.
Just quickly, because you refer to it as the traveling roadshow, do you like...
No.
You don't like that they do the draft in different cities now?
No. I mean, at first it was cool. It was like, you know, it's a little like interleague playing baseball. The first couple of times, you're like, oh, this is cool. Now I'm over it. Like, let's just settle it somewhere. I don't want to hear some... a cover country band in the background when they're trying to announce the picks, and this lame like brick wall studio. This is awful. No, just put it back in New York in that theater at Madison Square Garden.
The ABC cross promotion stuff is kind of nauseating too. Like American Idol. Like they're doing, you know, they'll have Katy Perry and the rest of that stupid cast pop up and be like, oh, coming up, it's the picks, and like they're doing little bits. Like enough of this. I hate all.
Can
that.
I tell you something else I hate? That I'm completely over the special announcing of the picks, like all these different people to announce the picks. I'm done with that.
Oh, I don't mind.
No, I'd rather just have like who is like the, you know, deputy commissioner of the NFL. Just come out and announce all the picks for rounds 3 through 7. Like I you know, by the way, Goodell makes like $44 million. You can't announce all the picks of the draft. Like you can't do that.
He should be forced
one
to
round.
But if not, I don't know. I don't mind an appearance from an old player that got drafted.
It's
kind of
annoying. They all come out. It's like some are good. If they were all like Pat McAfee, I'd be down for it. But a lot of them, they just come out and you know.
I think you hate the children. I think that's what it comes down
to.
You
hate the children. I do hate the animals announcing picks, though. That's ridiculous.
All right. I see some of you lined up. We'll get to you right after this. Your thoughts on the Patriots draft and the NFL draft overall. It's what we're focusing on here in the last hour of Gasper and Murray. First, though, we're going to get Tim McCone here with the Sports Hub headlines. He'll tell you about the latest pick.
It's going to be close, McCone.
Hopefully now he will be able to pronounce the name of the latest pick by the Patriots. So he'll get you caught up here. And then back to you here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
With the 77th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, your six-time Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots select Chase Winovich, DN, Michigan.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 the Sports Hub. So we'll get to this pick that Gasper loved last night. Winovich out of Michigan, but in case it's Chase Winovich out of Michigan, but in case you missed the Sports Hub headlines with Tim McCone or you haven't heard yet, with the 133rd pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Patriots took a quarterback. No! Hashtag F the future. No quarterbacks. They took Jarrett Stidham out of Auburn. It's a waste of a pick. Anything. I would have taken a kicker, a punter, anyone. Just no quarterbacks. Continue to build around Brady. Oh, it's just a fourth round. No. No, a defensive player, a tight end, anything. No quarterbacks. No quarterbacks. It's now. Hashtag if the future. Oh, I hate that they took a quarterback. And you don't even really like this guy anyway, right?
I don't. Look, he was good at Baylor. There were some issues, I think, at Auburn in terms of I don't think he had the greatest coaching at Auburn, and maybe that's what the Patriots are seeing. They're seeing, like, what he was at Baylor and what it was at Auburn. But this was a guy who was supposed to be, like, I'm trying to think of the, you know, right sort of analogy comp. Here or comp. But the reality is he was supposed to be somebody who was transformational for Auburn. He was supposed to be basically like a Matthew Stafford, you know, type of guy for them. And it didn't really work out that way. He's one of these guys sort of along the lines of like a Tannehill, where it's like he has all the traits, all the components you could ever want in a quarterback. But it just doesn't add up to, you know, the person it should when you see it on the field. And so maybe the Patriots are betting a lot of that has to do with the system he was in and the coaching he got at Auburn. And they feel like they can fix it. But I don't love this pick for the Patriots.
Ugh.
If you're going to take a quarterback, I mean, obviously Finley was gone, Greer was gone. But I think you would have been better off taking one of those guys earlier than drafting this guy. I will say this, though, Jim. Yeah, I don't like this pick. I don't like this player. But he probably has more upside, like a higher upside, than the normal quarterback you're going to get in the fourth round. Like, he's a guy they could pick in the fourth round, and he could pop, and all of a sudden you could be like, oh, okay, this is our Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, you know, starting quarterback we found in the fourth round. Because he does have that type of raw talent.
I wanted to be right so bad about that. Oh, it was trending that way. No quarterbacks. We'll get to Chase Winovich, like I said, in a minute, because I know you were very high on him. But let's get a little bit more here on Jarrett Stidham from Keith, who says he's an Auburn season ticket holder, so he has some insight on this player. Hello, Keith, and War Eagle.
Hey. And War Eagle, good afternoon, guys. Yes, hey. I have a daughter that attends Auburn, and I've been a season ticket holder for the last 2 years. So I've seen Mr. Stidham. Just to say quickly, he was in the wrong system. First of all, he's a class act when he does come up here and you guys interview him. He does have all the tools. He played on that Gus Malzahn. He plays that quick, crazy offense that doesn't equip to his style. Last year, he had an excellent year. He had a great offensive line. This year, he was killed. That's why Auburn went down the tubes pretty quickly. The only drawback, I would say, he can't seem to hold on to the ball. He'll stay in the pocket either too long or he'll bail rather quickly. But he has a great arm. He did not play a pro-style offense down there. And with a horrible offensive line they had this year and Gus's crazy offensive quick style, quick like run-and-shoot offense, didn't suit his style. I think you're going to be surprised. I think you're going to like him as a person. You're going to like his upside, as Gasper just said. So be patient with the guy. And War Eagle, he's going to make the Patriots proud. He's not going to be a threat to Brady. And he's the type of guy, I think, that has the ego that could sit and wait patiently and learn a lot.
All right, Keith, thanks. Appreciate the insight. Gus Malzahn's offense, it sounds like it still hasn't changed since Cam Newton was there for that one championship
season. Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't a fit. I think it's an offense that requires a more mobile quarterback than Stidham, and Stidham's a better pocket passer. I mean, I think Keith nailed it there. The bottom line, and what's a little bit of a red flag for me, is like when the team around him was good, he was good. When the team around him wasn't as good, a guy like that's supposed to elevate the team, and he didn't. Like, you know, we all watch, well, I shouldn't say that, we're in Massachusetts. Many of us watch college football, and if you watch college football, you know, like, you can get your Ken Dorsey's on Miami. If the team around the guy is good, the guy looks incredible. And then he gets to the NFL, and you're like, this guy's a scrub. And so normally in college football, if the guy is able to elevate a team around him that's not that good, then you know there's some real ability there.
Mike in Woburn, are you just fresh back from Brazil? Is that where you were?
Yes, I was in Brazil for 2 weeks.
Oh, well, welcome back.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. It was lots of good things down in Brazil. Lots of things that you could have an Adam Jones type reaction to down in Brazil as well. But listen, I need to thank you. That's the type of draft misery that I live on, because I used to love the draft, not the mock draft BS, not the combine. You want to remain celibate? Talk to a girl about a shuttle run. You'll never have to worry about, you know, paying for a date again. Look, I just love that the draft was the greatest off-season event of any of the four major sports. It was on a Saturday. I used to have a golf party and then a party afterwards, drinks. We didn't care who got drafted. It was just an event. Goodell ruined it. And so now I want to see everything burn. And to hear Jones shrieking like one of those egomaniacal harpies that got their freaking bachelorette parties ruined on the because they booked it in Nashville for the draft weekend, it's just my favorite thing ever. I love it. I love the fact that you guys have turned the prognostication into a complete mockery, that like that these guys can go through all their, you know, permutations about the players and whatnot, and you're just hucking a marker at a board, and you're more, you hit them more often than these guys, and it drives them nuts. Keep doing it, please. It fills me with such joy. It's incredible. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike. I still do enjoy it. I definitely don't enjoy it the way I used to when it started at noon on a Saturday.
And
make the
man.
Whole weekend out of it. It used to be such an awesome thing.
It was such an awesome thing when I was growing up as a fan, and then when I had to cover it as a journalist, and it went 8 hours. Yeah, it wasn't quite the same. So I don't quite have the nostalgia that you guys do for those 8 hour days of the draft, but I don't love they've spread it out over three rounds. I still get geeked for it. Part of it is, for me, it's part of the payoff of being a college football fan, and it's really interesting just to see what teams do. But even the teams, like even Belichick, you know, those guys will tell you it's an inexact science. Like they're guessing. Now they're making informed guesses, unlike the rest of us. They have highly informed guesses here in the draft. But they're guessing. They don't know. Because if you really knew, like, well, you'd take Julian Edelman before the seventh round, or you'd draft Malcolm Butler. You wouldn't risk that he's going to sign with you as an undrafted free. Like, I heard you guys had a call the other day on Felger and Mass. What about the undrafted free? No, you can't count that. Because if you knew that guy was good,
you would have drafted him.
You would have drafted him and made sure that it wasn't his decision whether he comes to you or not. By the very nature of what they are called undrafted free agents, which means it's up to them whether they show up here, not you. A guy you draft, that's not up to that guy. That's all you. You get all the credit. Some guy who decides to come to your team, he gets half the credit because he's like, well, I can go there and maybe I can play.
All right, but all that being said, and it is a guessing game, that's obvious,
yes.
You are horny for this Winovich out of Michigan. Why,
yes.
Why do you like this pass rusher they took last
yeah,
night?
Yeah, I mean, I just think the relentlessness in terms of the motor and what he can bring to the table. I think he's their type of player as an edge guy. There's the ability to have the hand down but also to stand up. Obviously really loves football, can pressure the quarterback really well, but also is stout against the run. I have to call it up, but Pro Football Focus was saying, you know, he's in their grading, he's one of the rare guys to get like an 85 or higher, both against the pass and the run. I just think he fits what they want to do and what they've done in the past with some of those edge guys, you know, like a Rob Ninkovich.
All right, we got one more segment to go and won't have anything to do with sports. With Chris here, we finally get to do it the first time in weeks with you. Five questions for Chris Kasper. We got nothing to do with sports.
Are you doing the Schwarzenegger voice that you've been doing as we watch Total Recall here?
Sure, Chris, if you would like. Five questions for Chris Kasper have nothing to do with sports. A Total Recall next. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Two warm-ups starting at 6 at Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. You can score team gear courtesy of Bud Light or a player bobblehead courtesy of FOCO. Go to FOCO.com for all your fan gear needs. No purchase necessary, but you've got to be at least 21 plus to enter. It's brought to you by Bud Light at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Chris Kasper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
It feels like it's been a month since we've done this, Chris. Five questions for Chris Kasper have nothing to do with sports. 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Kasper and Murray. That's how we try to wrap up the show each and every week, as long as we're both here. So let's dive right in. Question number one, Chris. This week, movie theaters throughout the nation, including one locally, hosted a 58-hour movie marathon of every single Marvel movie ever made. In fact, Toucher and Rich sent Pasta Joe to this thing. Could you ever binge-watch anything for 58 hours?
I think I could probably do it, but what's the situation in terms of bathroom or food or showering?
You know, so I actually ended up reading a review about this with one of the guys that works for Rolling Stone magazine. He wrote about his experience, and it sounded harrowing and awful. Pasta Joe seemed to enjoy it, but they give pee breaks and snack breaks at different increments. There's like 60 minutes, 30 minutes, 10 minutes. You could like leave too and go, you know,
go home and take a shower.
Yeah, go home, take a shower. I think the shower's available there.
But to sit in that theater for that long and watch all those movies, and some of those movies are terrible. Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2 wasn't bad. Oh, Iron God, Man you 3 like the wasn't worst. As good. I know. I like the worst movies.
But overall, you think you could do it?
If it was the MCU, yeah, I could do it. As long as they don't show the Incredible Hulk movie, I'm good.
Oh, no, they show the Hulk. That was the second movie on the, it
might
on
be,
the list.
It might be time to go take a shower or take a, you know, or defecate at that point.
Question number two. Is there an actor or performer that you would be starstruck by?
Ariana Grande. I just think she's wildly talented. And, like, when she's on with Jimmy Fallon and she can do the voices. She can do the voices of other. She can sing like Celine Dion or like Britney Spears. I'm always wowed by people that are just incredibly talented in different disciplines, and I feel like she is. So I would be wowed by her.
In my experience, 20 plus years in radio or whatever, sometimes you meet famous people, right? So I've only been starstruck twice, and that is from Bill Russell, who I literally couldn't even talk to because I'm like, holy crap, it's Bill Russell.
That's good because he probably didn't want to talk to you.
And Steven Spielberg, who I bumped into in New York, and I couldn't talk to because it's like, dude, you're the guy that made E.T., for God's sakes.
Wow.
But beyond that, no one really. I will say, though, was at Game 7 of the Bruins the other night when I heard Justin Bieber was in the house? If I bumped into Bieber, I was going to have to get a photo. Because he's just that famous. It's the same thing with Ariana Grande.
Sure.
I like some of his songs. When he was a kid, I thought he was terrible and, like, awful, and I hated that he became a thing. But now, like, how do you not take a photo of Justin
the
Bieber?
The Biebs.
Let's see. Question number three. If you could be a member of any TV sitcom family, Chris, what family would it be?
Oh, that is such a good question. Maybe the Growing Pains family?
The Seavers?
The Seavers, yeah.
The Seavers and their next-door neighbors, the Kuzmans? You know what that was taken from, right?
No.
The Seavers and the Kuzmans? It was the 1967 Tom Seaver rookie card.
That makes sense. Yeah, Kuzman, Seaver. Oh, from the Mets. I also would say that the Keatons would be a close second. Those parents seem pretty cool, and I feel like I could choke Michael P. Keaton to death.
The Keatons, I think, would be mine. Question number four. Would you rather be trapped in an elevator full of people with terrible body odor or three wet dogs?
It's
a bad smell either way.
Three wet dogs.
Yeah, the three wet dogs is probably the way to go because some of that BO can be bad. Final question. What is your biggest time travel fantasy? If you could go back in any period of time, where would you go back into?
I don't know. That's a tough one. Off the top of my head, See, for me, I there are places in time I'd like to go back to, but I don't want to go back to any place in time where I'm going to be shackled and sent to a plantation. So I have to consider very carefully where in time I would go back to. If I can just sort of be a lurker, like on the outside, I could see it. You know, I don't know. Maybe like, I don't know. This is a hard question. Maybe the Revolutionary War period. I've always been into American history. I would be intrigued to see what the reaction was. Like, if people were like, you know what? This country is going to be amazing. Or if some people were like, I don't know if this is going to work. I'm kind of hedging my bets just between the two of us. I know a couple of redcoats, and I'm ready to roll if this thing collapses.
For me, it's early 70s New York. Love the style.
Oh, you do. Yeah, that's your thing.
Love New York from that era. Like, how everyone looked.
Yeah.
The drugs, the party, and all that stuff. Yeah, early 70s New York. Or we could, like, go, like, Total Recall, Chris, and go to Mars. And it just dawned on me as we were watching Total Recall here on one of the TVs during the commercial breaks. You might remember this because you were stuck in front of a TV during this time when the movie came out in 1990. Do you remember the promotion behind that where they would, we were going to send you to Mars?
Oh, I do remember
Pennsylvania.
That.
It was Mars, Pennsylvania. And I've been to Mars, Pennsylvania. It's like going to Saugus. Like, that was one of the biggest movies of the summer of 1990. And that movie company at the time, whoever the hell it was, their big thing was TV commercials up the wazoo. You will go to Mars, Pennsylvania. Like, I think he gave you some cash, too. But what a horrible, horrible prize. And, of course, I entered at the time.
The only thing worse than that would be if we're going to send you to The Last Action Hero. Because that was probably the worst
movie.
Great the worst movie that Schwarzenegger ever made.
All right, we're going into Kristen Arkan's time. Thanks, Chris. As always, Tracy Clements for producing the show and providing the five questions. So, all it figures, the question's all good because they came from Tracy. And Tim McCone on the Sports Hub headlines as well. That will do it for us. Arkan, coming up next, how long are you on for? What are you going to be yammering about?
Until 5 o'clock, and we will be doing mostly draft stuff here as the Patriots wrap things up. We're in the fifth round now towards the end. Couple of picks already made. We'll go over some of the picks before. Congratulations, by the way, hitting on the big board again.
It's gone cold, though.
It has cooled off a little bit, but that was still enough to absolutely destroy my co-host, Adam Jones. He's a puddle of a man now, and that's always
good news for me, because if that N'Keal Harry pick was the only one that stood up and you guys didn't hit anything else, oh, my God, I would have never heard the end of it. No one would have heard the end of it.
He sounded like he wanted to kill himself.
It was pretty bad, yeah.
Oh, it was hysterical. All right, well, Arcan's up next with Matt McCarthy. You want to get on with him? 617-779-0985.
We'll wrap up with some bad Arnold Schwarzenegger for you, Chris. We will go to Mars, Pennsylvania.
It's amazing. But boy, what a looker that, who's this again? It's
Sharon Stone.
Sharon Stone was in this movie. Throwing high 90s, painting corners. This is her at her best. But boy, but a bad movie too. That'll do it for us. Talk to you Monday with Felger and Maz. Goodbye.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.